Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stand near it," or stay near it. Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading from this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Philip, please, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And the eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. We're in a series that's entitled Share the Faith. And really, what better story about sharing the faith than this story about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? I want to give a little bit of background so that there's kind of a story within the story. And actually, the text goes quite into quite a bit of detail about this Ethiopian eunuch, this man who Philip was able to share the good news with. This eunuch was, this man, first of all, was from Ethiopia. And generally, anyone who was black-skinned would often be referred to as Ethiopian. But we're also given a little bit of information about where he's from. And so we get a sense, or we have an understanding that this man was probably from what would be considered today northern Sudan. And he was a powerful man, a chief treasurer of a wealthy kingdom. The kingdom there would have received a lot of its wealth from like iron smelting and gold mining and trading, as it would have been a key trade area going into the African continent. It says that he was in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Candace actually means queen mother. It probably wasn't her name. It was her title. And the queen mother of the Ethiopians. And so this is an important person. It's interesting that he's an important person, but he's also a eunuch. He's also enslaved, actually, to in his position. In order to help him to realize that his life is not his own, he has become a eunuch. He has been castrated. He's unable to have children. He is has this mark of his life not being his own. This characteristic also affected something else, because this man has been in Jerusalem. It doesn't say that he was converted to Judaism. He was one who feared God, who knew of God, who had heard of the God of Israel, and who had come to worship. And interestingly enough, because he was a eunuch, he was unable to actually worship God to his fullest. Deuteronomy 21 and 23 talks about that how a eunuch is not allowed into the rituals of temple worship because he's not a whole man, basically. And so he would have been in Jerusalem, and yet he would have been blocked from actually worshiping God in some of the temple and ritual kind of worship. He's traveling back home after whatever experience that he had in Jerusalem. And as he's traveling back home, he's reading some of the scriptures. And he's reading from Isaiah. And it's interesting, the passage that is chosen is one that part of it he can relate to. Maybe much of it he can. He says that the text that he's reading is from the book of Isaiah, the prophet. And he says, the text talks about, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And then he reads this part, in his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who could speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? Now, we recognize that this is talking about Jesus, and it's clear to us as New Covenant people. But for him, he may not have ever heard of Jesus. And as he's reading this, he's saying, you know, I can relate to this. In humiliation, I'm unable to receive justice. He's just been blocked from worshiping God in the temple. That his life has been taken from him, that he will have no descendants, that's nothing, that he'll be forgotten, basically, after his life is over. And so life will end. At the same time that he's reading this passage, it could be that he was asking God for some understanding. We don't know. But at the same time, the Holy Spirit is also at work in Philip. Now, this Philip is not the disciple Philip that was one of the 12, but he's a follower of Jesus, and he has actually was one of the deacons in the earliest church. This is the same Philip who had been there to the conversion of Simon the magician. This Philip had been in Jerusalem and had fled to Samaria because of Saul of Tarsus's persecution, who becomes Paul the Apostle, of course. And Philip is there in Samaria, sharing his faith, and an angel comes to him and says, I want you to go out onto the desert road between Jerusalem and Gaza. And so he does. He doesn't say, well, you know, actually the Mediterranean coastline's a lot nicer, and it's just a little over farther the west. He says, he just goes. When he gets there, there's a chariot with a man, a dark-skinned man there. And the Spirit of God says, I want you to go stand by that chariot. And so Philip runs over to the chariot and stands there. And as he's standing, he hears these scripture passages being read out loud. Philip says, you probably don't know what you're reading, do you? And the guy says, no, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? They start a conversation, and the man invites Philip to come up onto his chariot. And as he reads these passages, Philip begins to explain the good news of Jesus Christ and how this is not about the prophet, this isn't about just any person, but this is about Jesus. And he goes on to explain who Jesus was. Clearly, he goes on to explain the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And as they're talking about what it means to be a follower of Christ, they come to this place where there's water. And the Ethiopian says to Philip, hey, so what's keeping me from being baptized right now? Now, if in your Bibles, you may notice that some versions have verse 37 and some don't. It's been thought, there are all kinds of ideas about it, and I'm not going to go into all of that. Good evidence that this was actually in the original scriptures. And so Philip says, well, if you put your faith in Jesus, if you believe that he's the Son of God, and he says, I do. He says, then let's go get baptized. This may have been a stretch for Philip, too. Because up to this point, believers in Jesus have come from the Jewish faith. Even Samaritans, who are considered half-breed Jews, were still coming from the Jewish understanding. And so now Philip is being stretched into an area. Not only is the Ethiopian from a whole different culture and outside the Jewish faith, but he's also a eunuch who has been expelled or rejected, in some ways God-forsaken himself, according to what Deuteronomy says. And yet Philip says, you know, this is it. It's about Jesus. And so he goes down and he baptizes him. Cool thing, after the baptism happens, it seems, according to the texts, that Philip is whisked away from there. Maybe miraculously. Just disappears. The Ethiopian goes on, rejoicing because his life has been transformed. One quick note, and that is that tradition says, from the early church, says that this Ethiopian probably became the one who evangelized Ethiopia. And there's a strong Christian church that even to this day, that grew from probably this conversion experience. The Isaiah, later on in the scroll, in verse 56, says, Isaiah says, you know, the days are going to come when the eunuch will no longer say, I'm just a dry stick. The days are going to come when the eunuch who loves me and my house and my covenant will have a name written in my house and my covenant, which shall be better than 1,000 sons and daughters, and will be remembered forever. We see the fulfillment of scriptures. We even see the fulfillment of the Great Commission happening here as Philip began sharing the good news in Jerusalem, and then to Samaria, and then to the utter ends of the earth. He just didn't have to travel there himself. But this good news is sent there. Beautiful story of how God has set up these experiences, as Teresa shared. How God prepares the hearts of those to hear the good news. And how God leads. And that's the first thing I want us to look at here as a follow-up. And that is that God leads us. And he leads us sometimes into unexpected places. Philip was told to go to the desert road. Sounds like a great place to meet someone, right? It was actually a pretty well-traveled road, but in the middle of the day it wouldn't have been, which was when he went. And the Spirit led him there. And then the Spirit led him over to the chariot. We think about this place, and we think about this eunuch. I mentioned something about being God-forsaken in this. And there's a sense that God has left out, or isn't in certain places of our world. Last night, or yesterday, we were talking at the men's breakfast about some of the places, some of the things that happen, and some of the suffering that goes on, and wondering, is God really there? And it seems that God has left these places where there's terrible disasters that happen, where there's war that's tearing lives and people away, apart. But I can tell you that God does not forsake anyone or any place in this world. There is no such thing as a God-forsaken place or a God-forsaken person. There's no such thing. For even in the midst of this horror that we often see as we watch the news, we may not see it on the news, but there are those who are reaching out and bringing help and bringing encouragement and simply being there with the people. A couple months ago, we had Bill Clemmer who came, who now is in South Sudan, in what seems to be a God-forsaken place. And he says, God's busy there. He sent us there. Clearly, God's at work
You see? And there are people who are compassionate and sharing. And in those actions of loving people, of bringing water and help when there's a natural disaster, of the nurses in the burn units, where it seems, where is God here? God is there in these people and working through them. These are evidences of God's love and God's presence. No, God does not forsake, that's for sure. And often, God's presence is found in human flesh and blood, in those that he calls to be there, to go and to pick up and to encourage and to sit by and to stand with. God calls us into these places, folks, so that God's presence can take on human flesh and blood, a physical form. For as we go, God's Spirit is there, and God's hands are at work through us. The question that we have then is, are we willing to respond? Or how will we respond? Are we willing, first of all, to hear the Spirit lead us? Because there are a lot of other voices and a lot of other noises around us that sometimes keep us from hearing the Spirit of God. Are we willing to listen and hear? Are we willing to respond? And if so, how? Are we willing simply to go stand? You see what the Spirit asked Philip to do? He didn't say, I want you to go evangelize this guy. He says, I want you to go stand next to the chariot. Stand next to the chariot, that's it. And so Philip goes and he stands next to the chariot and he begins to hear and he begins to have a conversation. And one thing leads to another and the Spirit, of course, is still at work. But all he asked Philip to do was go stand next to the chariot. Sometimes we're simply asked to go stand next to someone, to go be with that sinner, to be with that one who's suffering, to simply be there. And God will take care of the next part. We don't have to know how it's going to turn out. We don't have to know what the next thing is. For when we're standing there, the Spirit will say, good, you're right where I want you. Now we can get some work done. Are we willing to go and stand in strange places, frightening places, unexpected places? There's one other quick point I'd like to make here. And that is that we are in need of each other. The eunuch clearly needed Philip to be there. That's why the Spirit brought him. I believe that Philip also needed the eunuch to understand a little bit more of what God was calling this faith to become. See, God put the eunuch there so that Philip could recognize what it means to go to the utter ends of the earth. And so Philip grows in his understanding of God and his understanding of his call. And this is what happens. We learn from each other. We learn from the kids, and we learn from those who are new in the faith, and we learn from those who have been in the faith for a while. We learn from those who have their third doctorate of divinity. We learn from one another because we all have different experiences. We all have these revelations that come from God at whatever stage we are. And so to say, well, you can't learn anything from me. I'm kind of new to the faith. I'm kind of young. I'm immature in my faith. That's not true. You see, we can find the truth of God coming from even the lips of a child, right? And so, I want you to be open to that. I want you to be part of things. And part of that is being with one another so we can learn and so we can hear from each other. The fellowship groups that we have and the times of fellowship that we have, the prayer groups that happen, the study groups, as we are together, we learn from each other and we get a better understanding of who God is, We get a better understanding of what our calling is as brothers and sisters in Christ. We get a better understanding of what it means to be a brother and sister in Christ. And so, together, we help each other grow. We help each other become deeper in our relationship with God. We support and uplift each other when difficulties arise, and sometimes it is just by standing next to each other and listening. And I want to share one last part of this, and that is that, you know, giving that help and being there for people is a blessing. But as being part of the body of Christ, it means that sometimes we're going to be on the receiving end of that. Okay? Now, we know that when we help someone out, that we are helping to strengthen the body of Christ. But when we say, oh no, I'm going to be fine on my own. This is just my little thing. I'm not as bad off as so-and-so. And we refuse to be helped by one another, the body becomes weaker. So in humility, I want to encourage you to accept the help that you may need at certain times. I know some of our dear saints are experiencing that right now. Receiving help from others, especially as they're used to giving and giving and serving. But we all experience this, and we often say, oh, I'll help anybody who's in need. But no, I'm okay now. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. When we're not really all that fine. I can tell you there are times when I need words of encouragement, when I need someone to come and stand next to me, when I need someone to simply say, you're okay today. You know, we all need that. We all do. So I want to encourage you to give, to serve, and to love, and to allow yourself to be served also. Our text reminds us to follow God's leading no matter where it leads us. And it reminds us also that we need each other to be available for one another and to ask for help when we need it too. Let's pray. Gracious God, it's a beautiful example of your Spirit at work, and we want your Spirit to be working through us. Help us to be listening. Help us to be able to hear. Lord, as scary as it might be, sometimes we need you to remove the things that keep us from hearing, that keep us from seeing you. Do that in our lives. We want to serve you. We want to be like Philip. But Lord, sometimes we find ourselves like the eunuch in need of help. May we be willing to ask for help at those times too. Thank you, Lord, for this word today. May it be a challenge to us. Amen.